I want to dive in this morning to week three, again, of a series that we're calling On Target. And just so maybe you're tuning in for the first time and you've missed the first couple of weeks of this series, my heart and desire behind this series is simply this, that as I look around the world, I see so many people who are just kind of struggling through life. Some of them, I don't even think they really realize it. Like, their normal is just their normal and they don't know any different. But I see so many people struggling, and I think one of the biggest reasons is because so many people do not really understand what their purpose is. And so that's what we've been talking about here for the last several weeks. What is our purpose? We've been trying to get an answer to that question that I think all of us have in one way or another. Like, what is the meaning to life? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing as I go through this life? And maybe you've asked that question before. Now, over the first couple of weeks, we've really dug into that and tried to unpack that. Like, where does our purpose come from, first of all, right? We believe as Jesus followers, it comes from our Heavenly Father. It comes from God. He is the Creator who created us, and our purpose comes from our Creator. We've also talked about what our purpose is, that we are here to love people. We're here to love God and love our neighbor. We're here to share Jesus with as many people as possible and to make an impact for His kingdom. If you missed either one of the first 2 weeks of the series, I really challenge you, go back to our YouTube page, our YouTube channel, and go to our Facebook page. Listen to week one and two of this series, because I promise you, it is foundational. It builds on itself. And what we're going to talk about today, honestly, will make a whole lot more sense in light of what we talked about in the first 2 weeks. But you know, we've talked about who kind of gives us our purpose. But there's something that we need to talk about today that, honestly, if we don't talk about it, it will make week one and two, it will make the what, it will make the who it comes from. None of it matters if we don't dig into what we're about to talk about today. And that is this. If we really want purpose, if we want God's purpose to truly take root in our lives and to actually begin to see the fruit of that, the fulfillment and the joy that comes from living out His purpose, first and foremost, we have to surrender our lives to His will, to His plan and His purpose. See, I can have the knowledge, I can have all the knowledge in the world of what my purpose is, of who gives it to me, but until I'm willing to actually surrender and submit to it, to kind of stop fighting it, if you will, it won't matter. It won't matter. And if I can just be real with you for a second, I mean, come on. We don't like surrender, do we? Like, we don't like to submit. We don't like to submit to authority. That's just who we are. That's how we're wired as human beings, right? I don't want somebody else calling the shots in my life. I don't want somebody else being in control of where I'm headed. I want to be in control of my own fate. I don't want somebody else controlling it, right? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I did this high ropes course. I took my staff and our board of directors. We had like this little retreat day, and in the afternoon, we wanted to do a team building event. And so we went to this high ropes course over at North Park. And I had done this high ropes course before. And I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of heights. Like, I don't even like getting up on a ladder to change a light bulb in my house. And so high ropes courses, they freak me out a little bit, right? And the very first time I ever did this ropes course, I'll never forget. It took like 3 or 4 hours to go through it. And the entire time, I was like so tense. Like, I was holding on to every apparatus for dear life. Like vice grip. When I was done, I remember getting off of that course and I could feel the tension in my fingers. I could feel just how stressed they were. And the craziest thing of all was that the next day, my arms, my shoulders, all up through here, I was so sore from going through that ropes course, so tense. And so this time, my second time going through, I resolved to myself, before we even got there, I said, Justin, you're going to relax, you're going to trust the equipment this time, and you're going to have a much better experience. You're going to enjoy this a whole lot more. And you know what? I was able to do it. I started off a little shaky, but the further I went, the more I kind of just relax. Okay, Justin, it's all right. You just surrender to the equipment. Surrender control here. Know that nothing is going to happen to you as you go throughout this course. And you know what? The next day, I wasn't sore. I didn't feel that same level of tension. Why? Because I didn't try to control everything. You know what's crazy to me is that there was a guy that was on the trip in the high ropes course with us. And the entire time, he was just like, he was so loose and free. He would literally, like, there were these tiny little platforms. He was just kind of like hanging literally off the edge, like floating out there 40, 50 feet above the ground without a care in the world. And he was having so much fun. He was. And in the same way, don't miss this as we get started today. There's this thing about surrender versus control, right? Surrender versus control. Control leads to tension in our lives. Control is always going to lead to us feeling more tension and feeling like we have to be the ones to get things done. We have to be the ones in control. But what surrender does is it gives us a freedom to enjoy, where control keeps us from living in that freedom. In the same way, a lot of us, I think, are holding on way too tightly to our will and our plan. We're holding on so tight, and it's causing us all kinds of stress and anxiety. And all along, God is looking at us and he's saying, I've got a better will. I've got a better purpose. I've got a better plan for your life. If you will just release your plan and your will to mine, surrender to me. Just like that high ropes course for me, right? The more I surrendered, the more I enjoyed the experience, the more I enjoyed the ride, so to speak. And the more tightly I held on, the more miserable I was. The more freedom and fulfillment we will experience as we navigate through the treetops of this life. That's what we're going to experience as we surrender to him. And so today, here's what I want to talk about. When it comes to your purpose, to the plan that God has for your life, I want to challenge you to do something today. I want to talk about putting yourself in a position of submission. In a position of submission, if you really want God's purpose for your life, you have to put yourself in a position to actually receive it. You have to surrender to him. It's a position of total surrender to his will. And that's what I want to talk about for just a couple of minutes today. I think maybe this could be life-changing for somebody today. Now, what does putting ourselves in a position of submission actually mean? You know, 2,000 years ago, there was this guy by the name of Jesus, and you've already heard me talk about him several times today. And Jesus, we believe Jesus around here, Jesus was the Son of God. He was God himself, perfect in every way. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% human. He was God in human form, God in a bod, right? And 2,000 years ago, he came into this world to fulfill a purpose. He had a very specific purpose and a destiny to fulfill while he was here on this earth, to save us from our sin, to give us a hope and a future, and to show us what it looks like to really live. And one of the things that Jesus modeled in an extraordinary way was his willingness and his ability to submit his will and his ways to his Father's. And so I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, a scene where we find Jesus and his disciples, and he's trying to teach them something about submitting their wills to the Father. And he's trying to teach us today, 2,000 years later. Now, I want to set the scene for you before we kind of dive in to the scripture here. Now, it was just before Jesus was about to be crucified and put on the cross, right? And to die, to pay the penalty for our sin. This was his purpose all along from the day he came onto the earth. And he's just had his last supper with his 12 disciples. He's broken bread with them. They've taken communion together. He's washed their feet. They've just shared in this incredible moment. But as soon as that is over, Jesus begins to feel the weight and the pressure and the stress of what is about to happen. I mean, it's really the beginning of the end of Jesus' life here on earth. And so he takes 11 of his disciples and he goes to this kind of secret garden, if you will. This very tranquil, serene garden that he probably went to often to get away. He needs to get away because he's beginning to feel the weight and the stress and the pressure of what he's about to do. He knows how challenging the cross is going to be. And so he knows he needs to have this moment, this communal moment with his heavenly Father. And this is where I want to pick up the story. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He says he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.'" So imagine this with me. Jesus and his disciples, they're walking up to this garden. It's probably gated, right? It's this private garden. He asks 8 of his disciples to kind of just stay there and keep watch, right? Because he knows what's coming. He knows there's going to be a posse coming to arrest him, but it's not time yet. And so he puts these 8 guys there and they keep watch, or they're supposed to keep watch. And he takes 3 disciples with him into the garden, a little bit further, deeper into the garden. And he doesn't take these 3 guys for companionship. In this moment, Jesus doesn't need companionship. He doesn't need their strength. He doesn't need their help. He's God, and he has his heavenly Father to be that for him. No, he brings these 3 guys, Peter, and it says the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And these 3 guys, these 3 disciples were his most trusted disciples. These were kind of the leaders of leaders. And these 3 guys, these 3 disciples, they were going to go on to be the leaders in the early church. They would be the guys who would champion the movement of Jesus. And the reason he takes them into the garden is because he needs them to see with their eyes and to hear with their ears what Jesus is about to do and what he's about to say. Guys, I need you to see this. I'm modeling something for you here, and it is going to be vitally important for you as you move forward. And I believe he's calling us to do the same, to recognize what Jesus is modeling for us here about surrender. And so it goes on. This is going a little farther. "He fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will.'" Right? And so Jesus, he leaves Peter, James, and John. He walks a little bit further away from them. And he drops to his knees. He puts his face to the ground and he begins to pray. Why does he do this? See, the fact of the matter is that Jesus was overwhelmed in that moment. He is overwhelmed with the weight and the stress of what he is about to do. And even though Jesus is 100% God, he is strong and invincible, and the God side of him has absolutely nothing to fear or worry about. He is also 100% human. This is fascinating to me. The human side of him is stressed. The human side of him is afraid. He knows the pain that he is about to go through. And I think what's so amazing about this, maybe you've never thought about this before, but Jesus, it says in Scripture that Jesus understands our pain. He empathizes with what we go through. He has felt it all. This is what makes Jesus so incredible, is that he understands our pain and knows what we go through. He wasn't just this distant God. No, he came to earth to be with us, to live as a human being so that he could empathize and understand exactly how we feel in our flesh, in our humanness. And in his flesh in this moment, he is terrified. He does not want to go to the cross. Why? Because when Jesus went to the cross, not only did he endure an unbelievable physical pain, but he took the weight of the sin of the world upon him. And he bore the wrath of God. The penalty for sin against a perfect and holy God is death, and Jesus took it all of the wrath for all of the sin of the world. I can't even imagine the spiritual weight and hell, really, that Jesus must have gone through. But not only that, Jesus in this moment is being tormented and tempted beyond belief by Satan himself. Satan in this moment, he is doing everything he can to try to get Jesus not to fulfill his purpose. And so what does Jesus do? Satan is coming at him. He drops to his knees. He puts his head to the ground. He bows as low as he can go in complete submission to his heavenly Father. He says, I don't want to do this. If you can take this away, if there's any possible way, he says, take this cup away from me. In other words, I understand that I have to save the world here. And I want to save the world. I love humanity and I'm willing to do it. But if there's an easier way, God, please make it so. Then Jesus, he says this final phrase. And this is the part that I just want to hang on this for a few minutes. And I want to focus in on that, on what he says here for just a few seconds. He says, yet not as I will, but as you will. He's asking, is there any other way? But if there's not, Father, if there's no other way, if this is the only way to fulfill the purpose that you have for my life, God, I am willing to do it. I will do whatever you ask me to do. I know it's going to be excruciating. I know it's going to be a pain like I have never experienced before, but I'm on board for whatever you have for me. Whatever your plan is, your purpose is for me, I want it because I trust you. And I believe that your will and your way is better for me and is better for the good of the world than the plans that I could have for myself in this moment. And in that moment, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and that includes you and I. 2,000 years later, he's teaching them something about surrendering to the plan of God for your life. First of all, Satan is going to come at you with everything he's got to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. He's going to throw everything at you but the kitchen sink. I don't know why in that phrase, it's everything but the kitchen sink. That seems like a really good thing to throw at somebody because it'd probably be really heavy. But he's going to throw everything at you. I mean everything. He's going to do everything he can to distract you, to detract you, to keep you from fulfilling the God-given purpose that he has for you. Why? Because he doesn't want you doing anything good for the kingdom. That's the last thing that Satan wants. He wants to oppress you and keep you down. He wants to make you believe you can't do anything good. You don't have the gifts or the skill set to do that. You're not ready for that. And that's exactly what Satan was doing to Jesus in the garden. He looks at Jesus, he's whispering in his ear, oh so subtly maybe. He's telling Jesus, you're not worth it. These people that you're supposedly supposed to save, they're definitely not worth it. You don't want to do this. No. Don't do this for them. They don't deserve it. He's whispering in his ear, you'll be so much happier, Jesus, if you do something else. Like, you don't want to do this. Now, you want to go back to heaven and sit next to your heavenly Father and eat surf and turf all day long and kick your feet up on an ottoman and relax and watch Netflix. And you don't want to do this, Jesus. Nah, this isn't going to make you happy. This is going to bring you joy. He's looking at Jesus, he's putting fear and doubt in his mind, right? You're going to have to give up too much, Jesus. You don't want to give that up. That's not going to be worth giving up for what you're going to do over here. And what I can't stress enough to you today is this. Don't believe the lie. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Don't believe for a second that the will and the plan and the purpose that God has for your life isn't better than the will and plan and purpose that you have for yourself. His plan is better. His purpose is better. It will bring more joy. It will bring more fulfillment and more peace to your life than any plan or purpose you could have for yourself. Jesus stood up to that temptation. He was tempted beyond belief his entire life. Satan tried to keep him from his purpose. And in perfection, in his perfect way that he does because he's God, he withstood that. And he is calling us to do the same, to stand up to that temptation. Don't believe the lie. But then second, when we get tempted, and we will, and we are tempted to run from our purpose, and we are tempted to fear it or to desire false purpose in our life, Jesus says, pray. You need to pray. You need to drop to your knees. You need to drop to your face and put yourself in a position of submission and go to your Heavenly Father and say, listen, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I want to do this, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Father, I'm scared. I don't know if I can do it, but your will be done. See, Jesus, he had a purpose. His purpose was to die for the sin of the world and to show us how to live. And along the way, he was tempted over and over again to abandon that purpose, and yet he never relented. At all times, what did he do? He would pray, he would have communion and fellowship with his Heavenly Father. And he would put himself in a position of submission. He would lower himself and say, your will be done. Even though I'm tempted to do it my own way, God, I want your way. I desire your way. And in doing so, he accomplished the greatest thing that has ever been accomplished. And he gave the world a hope that has never been given before. A hope of all eternity. This is the message today. I have just one challenge for you today. Put yourself in a position of submission, just like Jesus modeled for us. You want purpose for your life? You want to receive his purpose? You want to begin to live his purpose? You must put yourself in a position of submission. Like Jesus, would you just trust that your Heavenly Father knows what is best for you, that his plan and purpose is actually better than the plan that you have for yourself. And don't get confused. Don't hear me saying that that means your life is all of a sudden going to be easier, that his plan and purpose is going to be smooth sailing. No, it might actually be incredibly challenging. It might be incredibly difficult, but it will always be better. It will always be better. And here's something that God is just teaching me and reminding me on a daily basis. The more I am willing to give up, the more I'm willing to surrender and submit to him, the more God can do through me and with me. And the same is true for you. You see, Jesus, he completely emptied himself. There was no part of himself that he held back from his Heavenly Father. And I think you and I, we hold stuff back, right? Because we are not Jesus. We are not perfect and we never will be. But we have got to get to a place where we are able to release as much as we possibly can. And as we grow and mature and become more like Christ, to give more and more of ourselves to him. Why? So that he can come inside of us and take over more of our life and do more through us. That is the only way that we will ever fully realize his purpose for our lives. Our desires, our plans, our purpose has to be released and given up and surrendered so that His purpose can take hold, so that there is room for Him to lead and guide us. I love how Paul puts this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," he says, "to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." He says, "This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." He says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." He says, you want God's will for your life? You want to know what it is at all times? He says, offer your whole self, your whole body, your mind, body, and spirit, all of you, surrender it to Him. Allow Him to do whatever He wants with it, to lead you wherever He wants you to go. Total surrender, and He will make His will clear. You are giving Him, you are giving up your own freedom and giving Him the freedom to push you and move you in the direction that He wants you to go. And I'm telling you right now, there is nothing greater. There is no greater feeling in the world than knowing you are in line with the will of your perfect Heavenly Father and doing what He's called you to do, living out what He's called you to do. Offer your body as a living sacrifice to Him. And He will, every day, I promise you, He will show you His will. And so here's the question for you today. As we close out week 3, talking about our purpose, as we're talking about this idea of surrendering, what is it that you need to surrender? What is it that you need to surrender that you've been kind of holding back, so to speak? Because whatever that is, whatever that thing is that you just can't seem to surrender and submit to Him, that is most likely the thing that is keeping you from fulfilling your purpose more than anything else. And for some of us, probably for most of us, it's not just one thing, it's multiple things. Maybe for you, it's simply laying down your pride and admitting, maybe for the first time in your life, that God is real, that Jesus really did die on the cross for your sin, and that He wants you to have a better life. And all you've got to do is say, "Okay, God, I repent. I admit that. I'm tired of trying to do it my own way. I'm tired of trying to seek purpose for myself and my own will. And from this day forward, I'm submitting to You. I'm giving You my life. I'm making You Lord of my life." Why? You can't receive God's purpose when you're clinging to your pride. You can't. You will never receive God's purpose while you're clinging to your own pride and trying to do things your own way. Giving your life to Him is the start of receiving His purpose. If we really believe that purpose comes from God, then we have to have a relationship with God. And the only way we have a relationship with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for us on the cross. I can't express that enough. If that's you today, when this message is over, don't waste any time. Direct message us, call us, email us, get in touch with one of your friends who's a Jesus follower, and begin to walk the path of following Jesus. Maybe it's something from your past that you need to surrender and let go of, that you just are still kind of holding on to and holding back from God. Maybe it's a hurt, it's a wound, something somebody did to you that you can't forgive. Maybe it's something you did, then you can't forgive yourself. Don't miss this. You can't receive God's purpose when you're clinging to your past. You can't. You will never be able to move into the future purpose that God has for you, or even the present purpose that He has for you, when you are holding so tightly to things that maybe have happened to you in the past. You've got to let it go. You got to forgive where you need to forgive. Maybe it's yourself or someone else. And you've got to move on. You've got to allow God to heal that hurt so that He can do in you and fulfill in you the purpose that He has for your life. Maybe it's a dream that you had for yourself. Maybe it's a dream you had for your future but it's your plan. It's your desire. And you know it's not the path that God wants you to be on. You know it's not the purpose that He has for your life. It's left you feeling empty as you've pursued it and pursued it and pursued it. Maybe since you were a kid or a teenager. You've got to let that dream go. And I know this is very counter to what our culture says. Our culture says, no, dream big. Go after your dreams. But I promise you this, the dreams and the plans that your Heavenly Father who created you has for you are so much better than your plans. You can't receive God's purpose when you're clinging to your plans. You can't. The only way that you are going to fully receive His purpose in your life is when you surrender your plans to Him and you begin to lean in to His plans. My prayer for you this week is that you would put yourself in a position of submission. That you would, every morning, every single day when you wake up, the first thing that you would say is, Father, not my will, but yours be done in my life. God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of chasing after my desires. I want your desires to be my desires. I want your plan and your purpose to be my plan and purpose. And I promise you this, if you will begin to do that every single day, get up and pray that prayer, drop to your knees, drop to your face, put yourself in a position of submission, just like Jesus did in the garden, begin to pray, not my will, but yours. You are going to begin to see your life change. And the people around you's lives change. You are going to begin to experience a freedom and a fulfillment and a peace and a joy and begin to see impact like you have never seen before as you live out your God-given purpose. Submit to Him today and watch what happens. Saying, Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I thank you for the purpose and the plan that you want to give us, God. But most of all, I pray that you would help us to submit, to put ourselves in a position of submission every day, to follow the example that our amazing King and Lord Jesus Christ set for us. God, and I pray for all those who are listening or watching that they would experience that this week. They would experience the fullness of your purpose for them and all that comes with that. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.